Hey guys, welcome to the pod. Today we got expert UC Cincinnati Bearcat fan Theodore Sharber on the pod for the game of the century for the Bearcats. Maybe not for the Golden Domers, but they ain't played that well so far. Undefeated or not, ain't worried about it. He's going to give us insight on UC and our Big Ten games, or 10 big games of the week of week five. This is our first guest we've had on this podcast yet. He's a good one. Listen to him. Big Ted, what's up?
What up, Gooba? How are you tonight?
Drinking Bush Light, beat, busting ass all day, but feel good right now, pal, because we're talking college football week five, and this is a slate, man. This is a slate. We have 10 games here we're going to go through, but at the top, what I want to do is I want to have Mr. Theodore Sharber talk about his UC Bearcats and why this game is the game, the most important game in their college football history. Theodore, let me know why.
Yes, so just to sum it up, and thank you again, Gooba.
No problem.
Just to sum it up, this is one of the biggest games in UC football history. It's definitely the biggest game since 2009 when UC faced Pittsburgh for the Big East title. We know how that went. Tony Pike to Armon Bibbs for the win. And then in the Sugar Bowl, Brian Kelly left, which leads us up to some of the storylines that we have going on in this game. So it's really unique in the fact that it's all coming full circle from the last 12 years since Brian Kelly coached his last game at the University of Cincinnati. But we'll get into this later. The biggest factor that makes this the biggest game for UC's program right now is Coach Fickell always talks about getting UC to be a top 10 program, not just a top 10 football team, but a top 10 program. And this is the type of game that can take your program into that level. Unfortunately, UC football has been labeled a stepping stone job. And with the momentum of rolling into the Big 12 and having the plans in place for a new $40 million football facility, this is the type of game that can take your program to a destination, Jeb.
Well, Theo, let me tell you what, man. I mean, USC's open. I just don't see Luke Fickell and his kids and his family leaving Ohio. They've been in the Midwest their whole life. I don't see them leaving. I don't see them going to USC. Right. It just doesn't make sense to me. Obviously, Minnesota just lost to Bowling Green, who is at the time ranked 117th in the country. Obviously, PJ Fleck is probably out. I don't want to get too deep into USC football, but because they're not on our top 10 list for this week. However, James Franklin, it just makes sense for me just because of how he is, what's going on with Penn State. They're doing so well. He's a very flashy type of guy. I just see James Franklin being that guy, which makes me worry as for you as a Cincinnati fan that maybe a team like Penn State would try to scoop up Luke Fickell. However, I don't know if Penn State is the type of team for Luke Fickell to go to.
Yeah, that's a great point. Again, these conversations come up a lot, especially being a UC football fan. I think one of the factors at play here is that I think Luke Fickell would essentially leave UC for two jobs. And one of those jobs is the Notre Dame
job. I agree.
Because that was his second choice. Many people don't know that. That was his second choice.
For his college.
Ohio State.
Yep.
So, right. So I think Ohio State and Notre Dame would be the two jobs that he would leave UC for. Otherwise, I think it will be very hard for him to leave because he loves what he's building there. It's a program in the making. It's a sleeping giant right now. It really has the potential to become that top 10 football program.
Right, and now being soon to be in the Big 12. I mean, you look at them today, man, they might be, a top three Big 12 team as of today if they were in there. Texas looked good other than Arkansas game. Oklahoma looks very shaky, very beatable. I mean, them and UCF could have walked in this year and won the Big 12, honestly. I mean, TCU just lost SMU. It's just, I don't know. I'm excited for Cincinnati. I'm excited for UCF, for those programs. I'm a little confused about the BYU thing. I figured Boise would be that team, but hey, you know, whatever, that could probably be another doormat potentially for that. So
the BYU acquisition is because they're a national brand.
Right.
So they have all their games are on national TV.
Yeah.
They have the Mormon population. Right. Similar out to the Catholic population. A lot of them are Notre Dame fans. So it has that similar feel as Notre Dame. Obviously, BYU is not quite as big as Notre Dame.
Right.
But
it's BYU kind of a mini West Coast Notre Dame.
Correct. Exactly.
Right.
So it's great for the conference. And one of the biggest factors, too, is that UC moving from the American to the Big 12 already triples their revenue, which is huge.
Well, that's it.
It's absolutely huge.
Right. They're going to have better facilities than the Bengals are, dude. Seriously.
Yeah.
Dude, the Bengals have the worst. Funny. Yeah, the Bengals have the worst facilities in the NFL. Dude, ask AJ Hawk, dude. He played there for a year.
Yeah, no, that is that's funny, man.
The Bengals are operating.
The ground is definitely outdated.
Yeah, the Bengals are operating like it's like 1984 still. I mean, they're like facilities and shit wise. You know what I mean? Like they're just not. They're not with the times. You know what I mean?
No, Mike Brown is.
Frugal. Frugal.
So, exactly.
And he's got a talented team, man. They play tomorrow night. Theo, they play tomorrow night.
Interesting matchup there.
Joey Dude, Burrow. Against Trevor. Yeah.
Trevor, yeah.
That's going to be,
Really well.
Oh, man. You only want to get
secondary.
That Urban conversation. That's rough.
Ugh. Yeah.
I don't know. That could be a USC destiny. I'm not saying. I'm just.
That rumor is
it's out there. It's out there, pal.
Along with another interesting candidate, Anthony Lynn.
I know. It's a weird one, right? Yeah. Is he married a Cleveland girl, didn't he? When he was coaching here?
I was not aware of that, really.
Yeah, when he was a running backs coach here for the Brownies, because I was working for the Browns, he was here, and I think he married one of the Channel 19 news ladies, I think.
Okay.
I'm almost 99% sure.
Nice.
Just like your buddy Fran Mil Reyes married a Cleveland girl.
I'm
big Franny.
Yeah. Franny's my guy, man.
Love Fran Mil. But all right, Theo, you ready to jump into some games?
Let's jump in, man.
All right, man. So tomorrow night on ESPN, 7:30 prime time, before the Jags and Bengals kick off, we have the University of Virginia Cavaliers heading to the Miami Hurricanes. Miami's giving them 5.5, Theo. What do you think?
Yeah, so this is an interesting matchup. Virginia is kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team. They played well in some ball games, and then I believe they lost the last two.
Yeah.
They got smoked by Wake Forest the last one. But keep an eye on a guy named Brennan Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
He has 13 touchdowns with 1,705 passing yards compared to just 3 picks. And De'Aaron King, I believe, is questionable in this game.
Yeah.
However, if he does play, I like Miami at home to win this ball game. And Manny Diaz needs to get this going. Needs to get this program back to what it once was here in his third year.
Theodore, I couldn't agree much more, man. I mean, Miami, they're last in the league in tackle rate, which is – or not league. They're last in college football. That's 130 schools. You have schools like Akron. You have schools like Louisiana Lafayette better than them. They just can't tackle, and that's embarrassing. However, I think Manny Diaz, of all people, fixed that problem. And I think Miami – here's the thing. Virginia's offense is great. They can score, but I don't think they could stop me and you right now, to be honest with you. So I'm going to take – they're given 5.5 at home as of right now off of DraftKings Sportsbook, and I will take 5.5 all day – because I think Miami will wake up at home, go get this game, because you know what? The ACC is wide open right now. It really is.
Yes.
Clemson's out. I mean, you have the two undefeated teams in the ACC are Boston College, who we'll get to later, and Wake Forest. Though that's it. That's their shot. Those are the two teams that give them a shot to make the playoffs right now. So, and Clemson right now hasn't scored over 14 points against FBS school yet this year. So, you know what, Miami? Go out there.
Pulled his hair out on that one.
Yeah. Oh, he's ready to blow up. Go out there, Miami. I like Miami in this game. I don't think Virginia, regardless, well, let's put it this way. I think Miami, just being at home that's 4 points right there. I just don't see a way Virginia can pull this game out if they can't stop me and you at quarterback and running back. You know what I mean? I just don't see it. So we're both on the Canes, right? Me and you, we're riding the Canes.
We are. We're on the Canes.
That's awesome. Yep. Let's ride Canes. So then we're going to go to Friday night to a Big Ten matchup. Number 5, Iowa Hawkeyes at the Maryland Terrapins, who are 4-0, Friday night, 8 o'clock, FS1, primetime football, Friday night lights. Iowa laying 3.5 on the road. Theodore, who do you like?
Yes, this is an interesting ball game. Iowa's a top 5 team. Obviously, they had that big showing against Indiana, first game of the season, which helped get them to where they are now. Maryland's a dangerous team at home. They have a very good quarterback, the second-best quarterback in the country under pressure behind our guy, Desmond Ridder.
Mm-hmm.
However, Talia Tagovailoa, great quarterback, but I think too much Iowa offensive line and Tyler Goodson in this game. Iowa controls the clock. This is one of my locks. I like Iowa to give Maryland their first loss of the season.
Okay. Well, see, this is where we differ now. I believe Iowa is one of the least explosive offenses in college football. And to me, if they give up any, if they give up one fumble, one interception, anything like that, they can't recover from it. I think Tua's brother can handle anything that Iowa throws at him defensively. Mind you, they have the best white cornerback in football since probably Jason Sehorn.
Jason Sehorn.
Yeah, like that, 31, New York Giant. Riley Moss, he's a stud. However, in my opinion, Iowa has been very lucky based on interception and turnover ratio for the season. I don't think this continues on the road in a, mind you, 48-degree weather game in Maryland. A lot of people don't realize that's the situation. They probably think it's going to be a 60. No, this is going to be a 40-degree weather game in Maryland at home. The kids are off. We're told they are off class all Friday to start getting ready for this game. This game will be ruckus. This will be rowdy. This is one of the biggest games Maryland's had in years. This Maryland offense is explosive. I expect them to score enough on this Iowa stud defense and shut them out enough where Maryland at least covers a 3.5. I'm not telling them to win. I'm taking Maryland in the points. At home, I don't think they lose this game. But it is a perfect – I love this primetime Friday night nights slot for this game.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is going to be a fun one to watch.
And, oh, yeah.
And, you know, going back to this whole slate that we have, if you don't have anything to do this week, my suggestion is to pull up, sit on the couch, grab a 12-pack of your favorite beverage, whatever you like.
Oh, yeah.
And enjoy some great college football.
Hell, yeah. This is, man, if BW didn't have a damn – homecoming game, I'd be there for all of it. So hopefully I'll be home in time for maybe one of the games we got coming up. So, because don't get me wrong, I love BW. I love BW football. But capital BW don't tickle my fancy like some of these other games do.
Yeah, you know, just a little bit more revenue.
I mean, if it was BW Mount, that'd be different. You know what I mean?
But they
lost 31-7.
That's a big one. Mount Union is a powerhouse.
Yeah. So let's get to Saturday. Theo, how do you feel about that? You ready to jump? You ready to jump to Saturday?
Oh, I'm ready, man. We're getting closer and closer.
I know you are. So we're talking U of M football, the Wolverines. They're number 14 Wolverines, by the way, heading to Wisconsin. 1-2 Wisconsin, who just lost a heartbreaker to Notre Dame. The score was a lot worse than it actually was. Should have been. Wisconsin's giving 1.5 at home to University of Michigan. What do you think, Theo?
Again, I like another Big Ten road win here. John Harbaugh finally has it rolling there in Michigan. I think this is one of the years that I'm not saying they can beat Ohio State, but you know, I think at least they can make it more interesting than it's been in previous years. But yeah, I like Harbaugh and the boys to cover in this game and to beat Wisconsin and have Wisconsin slide down to 1-3.
Well, Theo, here's another. We differ again, Theo, because guess what? This is one of my locks. I like my lock of University of Wisconsin in Camp Randall at home. Last week, they gave up 9 yards rushing to Notre Dame. Nine yards. Their quarterback threw four interceptions, three in the fourth quarter. This defense will stop that Michigan run game. Michigan cannot throw the ball further than me to my refrigerator from where I'm sitting right now. That can't happen. I'm telling you right now, this Wisconsin defense under Jimmy Leonard, who will be a head football coach in college football before you know it, maybe at Wisconsin, if they keep playing like they're playing, and say, hey, Jimmy, get out of here. You know, you're the man now. This is, we want you.
Former Brown,
correct. Here's the deal. I'm taking Wisconsin all day. This is my lock. There is no way they drop to 1-3. They win this game. They're in. It's set up. This is not a bad football team. They should not be 1-2. That game against Penn State was on their quarterback. That game against Notre Dame was on their quarterback. I think their quarterback wakes up here. I think he realizes his job's on the line, and I think they win this football game.
Great points.
All right, next we're going to move on to a huge one in the SEC. Are you ready for this, Theo? You ready for this? Now, before we get to the actual game, I don't understand why this game's at noon and the other game's at 3:30. I feel like this, you're talking about an 8-2 matchup, okay? You're talking, I mean, don't get me wrong, Bama's good, but Bama's always on at 3:30. Let's get some other love here. So anyway,
they have the CBS locked in, man. They have that slot locked in.
They do. They love that slot. So we're going.
Former Cleveland Browns quarterback, Candy from Bernie Kosar.
Yes, 100%. We're going Arkansas. So, we're going Arkansas, number 8 Arkansas, by the way. Jumped 8 spots from last week. Number 2, UGA Bulldogs. Bulldogs are given 18.5 points.
Wow.
What do you think, Theo?
Wow.
What do you think?
Yeah, so, I mean, you got it. This is a top 10 matchup.
Top 10.
You're giving Georgia 18.5 points at home. Arkansas obviously had a big victory against Texas earlier in the season. New head coach hasn't playing well. One of his mainstays of that program was getting Arkansas back, the Razorbacks to where they used to be.
Yeah.
It seems like that they're on their way. However, we got to – I got a glimpse of Georgia last year. JT Daniels can sling it.
Yep.
I think too much Georgia in this ball game. I don't like them to cover the 18.5, but I have them beating the Razorbacks.
Okay, I like that. All right, Theo, so this is my opinion. So Arkansas's quarterback is potentially not playing in this game. If he does play, he is not going to be 100%. That's an issue for me. However, Georgia showed against Clemson's at the time fully healthy. We'll get to Clemson later. Fully healthy defense. They couldn't score an offensive touchdown. I'm not saying Arkansas's defense is as good as Clemson's defense, but what I'm saying is they're comparable. I'm not saying they can't score against Arkansas. I'm saying they can't score more than 18.5 points on them in a comparable ball game. This isn't a lock for me. At worst, Arkansas backdoor covers this game. There's no way, in my opinion, and don't get me wrong, I love Georgia's defense. I just don't see a way Georgia outscores Arkansas by almost 20 points in this football game. I will take Arkansas. I like Georgia to win. I like Georgia to stay undefeated. However, I like Arkansas to cover the massive number of two top 10 teams of 18.5. That's big to me.
Wow. Yeah, very good. Those are great points, man. Let's see what happens there.
Are you ready, Theo? 2:30. You ready for this game? We're talking UC. Number 7, University of Cincinnati at number 9, undefeated Notre Dame, South Bend, Indiana. I got UC given 2. What do you think?
Yeah, so actually, UC's favorite in this ballgame.
Yes.
Who would have thought 4 years ago?
And what's funny, hold on, Theo, I found multiple websites that are different. I found some where Notre Dame's given 2, and I found some – but the majority is where UC's given to, which is weird.
Yeah.
So that just shows everybody's kind of doesn't know what to do.
No, it's tough. I mean, it's a tough way to go. you know, like Mr. Sharper says, Notre Dame's a different team than South Bend. You know, you have the touchdown Jesus, and you know, some funny stuff happens there. But you know, Coach Fickell's a man of faith as well, and he'll have his rosary with him there on Saturday.
Oh so, yeah.
Let's get to talking a little bit of football here and continuing back to what I was saying about the storylines leading up to this game. So in 2009, UC beat Pittsburgh for the Big East title under Brian Kelly. That was his last game that he coached at the University of Cincinnati.
That was it.
Because he took the job at Notre Dame and left his guys like Tony Pike, Marshawn Gilliard out to dry. And they had to play that Sugar Bowl against the likes of a guy who didn't look like he had a bad release on that night, of Tim Tebow, Joe Hayden, Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
That team was stacked against former University of Cincinnati DB, Urban Meyer.
Yep.
So, a lot of storylines and a lot of tie-ins with the University of Cincinnati.
Don't fear my buddy Reggie Nelson. Well,
Reggie Nelson.
I have his mouthpiece.
No.
I do. From the first Browns game I ever worked, he had a Florida Gators mouthpiece. I grabbed that bad boy.
Wow.
It was like 10 degrees outside, so it didn't matter.
No, it can't quite do that one. But, so, anyways, continue on. So, that was the last game that Coach Kelly coached at UC. So, fast forward here, 12 years later, we have so many storylines in this game.
Unreal.
Not just with Coach Kelly, but also Mike Denbrock, offensive coordinator for the Bearcats right now. He was at Notre Dame previously. His offense stalled out a little bit, got stale. He went to UC, and he's been at UC for the last 4 years, and he has been rolling. Also, Marcus Freeman, former defensive coordinator at the University of Cincinnati.
Also,
at Notre Dame.
Former Colts outside linebacker, right?
Who?
Marcus Freeman.
Oh, Marcus Freeman, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Former Indianapolis Colts outside linebacker.
Yes, and he played with Luke Fickell at Ohio State.
Yep.
So, but we have a lot of storylines here. And Marcus Freeman left, you know, UC to go to Notre Dame for more money to take the same position.
Right.
So,
three times.
Selling.
You can't blame the guy.
No, you can't. But here's some interesting things. So, Marcus Freeman and Luke Fickell both created some unique defenses. One was called a 3-3-5. Essentially, what they had was a 5.5 DB lineup that they called it. And they had a stand-up linebacker on the outside who would either blitz or drop into coverage. This was one of the ways that they beat Central Florida for the first time in a couple of seasons because they took away their underneath passing. Because in the year previously, they took away the deep ball. UCF beat them in a short game. But one of the adjustments that Luke Fickell and Marcus Freeman both made to help win that game was one of those types of defenses. So you have two very innovative defensive guys here in this game. And it'll be interesting to see the chess match of who comes up with the best defensive game plan. But leading into some of the matchups, I don't think Notre Dame has faced a defense that's at the calibers of UC's. UC has two potential top first-round picks in Majay Sanders and Ahmad Gardner, who has only allowed two receptions the entire season. They don't throw his way.
That's out.
They've got another guy on the back end who a lot of people aren't familiar with, but his name is Javon Hicks, and he'll have the responsibility of covering tight end Michael Mayer, who's one of the best tight ends in the country, along with Josh Wiley over on our side at UC. So Javon Hicks is the guy that actually was all-conference the year that James Wiggins, who was now with the Arizona Cardinals as a draft pick.
Yeah.
But the year that James Wiggins had to sit out due to an ACL injury that took him out the entire season, Javon Hicks was an all-conference player as a backup. So now he's starting along with the Howard transfer Brian Cook in the secondary. And then DB Kobe Bryant in his senior year. You have a lot of weapons defensively. And, you know, my hope is that UC can win it in the trenches. And I believe they can. Another interesting point in here is on offense. You got a guy, Jerome Ford, one of the best kept secrets in the country, Alabama transfer. You can establish him on the ground. And if UC can get to Jack Cohn, who's going to play? He's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
I think if UC can pressure Jack Cohn, and win the turnover battle, UC will be walking out of there with one of the biggest wins in program history.
I agree with you, Theo. I think Jack Cohen's a statue. I think he is totally – I don't think he understands the pass rush that's going to come from UC. I like that you mentioned – I don't know if you realize this as you said it, but Brian Cook, Kobe Bryant, you're talking about two Los Angeles Lakers champions,
yeah,
as you said
funny,
that. Do you remember that? Remember Brian Cook, three-point specialist? Remember Brian Cook?
I remember him.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Anyway, back to foosball. Here's the deal. UC brings an element of defense that Notre Dame hasn't seen yet. And Jack Cohen left Wisconsin not because he was so good. He left Wisconsin because he wasn't good enough to play at Wisconsin. You know what I'm saying? It was just Notre Dame took him, and he just happened to be the best player at the time. However, he is an old-school Drew Bledsoe-style 1997 pack. Trent Dilfer, as much as I like Trent's a great analyst, high school coach. He is a pocket passer. That doesn't work in college football today.
No.
Especially when you have pass rushers like UC has. You know what I mean?
Correct.
It just doesn't work.
Don't forget about our guy, Malik Van, as well on the other edge.
I just don't see a way. And here's the deal. If Notre Dame can only rush for 9 yards, don't get me wrong, Wisconsin's defense is unbelievable. But I think Notre Dame's offensive line is so lackluster that they could give up 8 sacks to Bowling Green. Well, that's bad. Bowling Green just beat Minnesota. They can give up 8 sacks to Akron, the 130th out of 130th ranked college football team. Their offensive line is not good, and they are supposed to be offensive line you, the Ronnie Stanleys of the world, right? I mean, like, what are you doing? They're just – their offensive line is not up to par right now. So,
no,
I don't know. They
That's where we can capitalize.
I mean, I think they – right now, they have the two highest paid offensive linemen in the NFL with Quentin Nelson and Ronnie Stanley. I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Zach Martin, too? Am I right?
As well.
So, you have three of the top, say, five paid offensive linemen, and you don't have an offensive line enough to rush for 10 yards in a full football game right now. That's embarrassing. I will basically – I pick games based on the trenches if it's that close. And if I trust a trench on either side more, I will take UC's D-line over Notre Dame's O-line all day. And to me, that's all I need to know. That will win the game. Jack Cohen is not – if Jack Cohen was Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, somebody like that, they can move, it'd be a different story. He is a statue. He can't move. He is literally has cinder blocks for feet. He will be destroyed. He is not a good quarterback. He is not a mobile quarterback. He's terrible.
Let me hear it.
So
yes,
I will take UC. I'll take UC. It's not my lock, but I'll take UC.
Excellent.
All right, Theo.
So you got to watch out, too. They have that freshman quarterback that can come in and scat a little bit.
He
so.
Can, but how much do you expect him to make a I mean, if he ran for one long rushing touchdown, are you worried about it? Me neither. All right. I like UC here. I'm taking the points. That's all I need. You have a Heisman finalist, in my opinion. Right?
Yes. Yep.
So
Desmond has brought himself into that conversation.
He's right there.
Yep.
They win this game. He almost solidifies himself in that conversation. They know that.
Yes. It's just such a huge game for the program.
All right, Theo, let's move on. We're going to go to 3:30 now. CBS primetime, SEC. Of course, they can't move the best game there. But we're going Ole Miss and Heisman favorite Matt Corral against Alabama. Alabama's laying 14.5 here at home in Tuscaloosa. What do you think, Theo?
Just like you said in your opener there, what a great quarterback matchup that we have. You know, Bryce Young versus Matt Corral. Matt Corral can sling it. However, this is Alabama. This is a program that is ahead of almost every other school in the country. I think programs that can measure up are Georgia, Ohio State, LSU. But Alabama seems to be on another level. And again,